Regular gum is boring, but Icebreaker's ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreaker's gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreaker's ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Hello and welcome to the Game Theory Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Vecini. We are presented by The Athletic. Today on the show, Robbie Calland. He's back. We're doing NBA over, under, win totals. Robbie, we've got the Western Conference left. The first episode, I feel like we did pretty well. We figured out some things on along the way. Like we learned. This one's going to be maybe a bit more streamlined, maybe a bit less at the top. I don't know. We'll see what we can do.
We'll see what we can do. Being succinct is never our strong suit between the two of us.
No, it's not. It's actually pretty
not
bad.
Not a strong suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great. Anyway.
Okay. Let's just dive right in.
Let's go.
Dallas Mavericks, 48.5. I have in big, bold letters, stay away
under?
For this number.
And
for people who don't know the way this works, Robbie and I will pick an over-under for everyone, but we'll let you know the ones that are like actually going on the card. Like last time, we feel strongly about the Hawks going over. We feel strongly about Miami under. We feel strongly about Milwaukee over. I'm like, you know, hesitant on
Sam loves him in the Orlando under because he wants to get grimy in the mud late.
Yeah, and I'll say this, the Western Conference, there's one that I think is like my favorite over under.
Oh, I'm excited. Like, I'm ever. Excited for this. Yeah, let's go.
There's one that I think is like wildly mispriced. Like I think it's insane.
Lock of the century of the week. Let's go.
Okay, but it's not Dallas. Dallas is like a pure stay away for me. I have under here. I don't feel great about betting against Luka, though.
Understandable. Totally understandable. I guess my question to you is, this was right about the same pace as last year. And they had equal parts, a cold streak early and a hot streak kind of in the middle where they were like scalding after the deadline for a little bit and really flew up the rankings. And I think averaged together, I think they were about the right pace. So you're talking about a team that was right on this kind of 48, 49 win pace. I think the number's pretty good. I'm with you. I guess my thing is like, did they do anything that makes you feel like they got better? Like Reggie Bullock's a fine signing. Like I think that was helpful, but like they didn't address the places I feel like they needed to.
But I feel like those are pure playoff concerns though too.
Okay. I guess I'm a little more skeptical of like you can keep rolling out Jalen Brunson and Trey Burke as much as they need to.
Yeah.
And win games in the West.
So like that's not even my worry.
Okay.
My worry is the downgrade from Rick Carlisle to Jason Kidd.
Well, there is also that. That is also in play.
Like, I'll say this. Jason Kidd's first year in Brooklyn was, like, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could have been worse, maybe is the way to put it. Maybe that's a better way to put it. I don't even know if pretty good's right. But, like, that was, like, you know, 30-year-old Darren Williams, 32-year-old Joe Johnson, like, Paul Pierce at the end of his career, and they still, like, figured out a way to win 44 games, right? And then he tried to consolidate power, and it didn't go well. Then 2014-15, first year in Milwaukee. Like, that team wins 15 games the year before. And then under Kidd, first year, they win 41. So the first year with Jason Kidd, like, might not be bad.
Mm-hmm.
It might be after that that could be a problem.
Sure.
But the first one might not be bad.
Okay.
I'm still leaning under, because I kind of agree with you that, like, long term, they didn't really fix things. But, like, this, I don't feel good about any of this, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I'm just, like, naturally skeptical of Dallas. I feel like I have an under on them every year. And it's just like they, I don't like their center rotation, and I don't like their point guard rotation. And Luka's awesome, and he might win the MVP. And I guess if you think Luka wins the MVP, you're probably on the over here. But I also think this number gets inflated because everybody knows how great Luka is. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's right. I probably won't bet it, but lean under, and it's closer to the card than yours.
Okay, here's the deal. Do you want to bet against Luka?
No, see, that's why it's not on the card.
Yeah.
But it's closer.
It's kind of the deal.
And also, Luka doesn't play a style, and, like, this is with the hardest knock on wood in history. But, like, he plays a style like Jokic where you're not tremendously worried about injury stuff.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like, you talk about a little more floor bound guys, you feel comfortable. They're not landing on people a whole lot. So, again, I knocked on wood really hard. I promise this table is solid wood. Mavs people, don't yell at me. It's not my fault.
Speaking of Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Denver 47.5
over. Quite good at basketball.
I have, like, a pretty strong over here.
Really? Even with Jamal Murray just probably not playing until April?
I do. I think I like that. It's just, like, an organizational
they're
bet.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just rock solid. Michael Malone, very good coach. Yeah, I think their biggest move this offseason was basically, like, swapping Jeff Green in for Paul Millsap.
Yeah, basically.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's, which is, like, I think a net neutral. I think it gives you some more versatility in certain areas, takes away a little bit in others. They're just a really good basketball team who know how to win and have institutional knowledge that runs through everything. They're going to get, as long as they don't have the same point guard health disaster as the end of last year, I think you're right.
So they went,
I think this team that sleepwalks to 48.
Yeah, they went 15-7 without Jamal Murray last year. And you could say that, like, that might be an aggressive bet for that to happen again, and I get that. But, like,
but they also did that without, like, any other point guards too. Like, they were 15-7 and were playing, like, Austin Rivers real minutes straight off the street.
Yeah, and you're going to get, like, full year Michael Porter. Hopefully he stays healthy. You're going to get a full year of Aaron
Monty
Gordon.
Morris. Yeah, Monty Morris is back. PJ Dozier back.
Right. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a good team. I mean, their entire hopes of doing anything in the playoffs rests on Murray coming back. But I think you're right.
Will Barton, you're going to get a full year of. Like,
yeah, well, Will Barton always misses 18 games. So
yeah, that's a fair point.
You build that in. He's a very slender individual.
Very slender.
I did an Under Armour thing with him, and he is thin. He's a very good basketball player, but he is thin. He takes some knocks, man.
Yeah.
He'll miss some time. But yeah. All right. Solidly talked in. So this one's on the card for you, right?
I think it is. I think it's on the card for me.
This one's on the card.
I trust Malone. I trust Jokic.
They're really good. Like, they're really good.
It's a sturdy bet.
You know, foundational pieces to the card is what you need.
Yeah, it's a this is a good call. It is a foundational piece to the card. Okay,
like that.
Golden State 48.5. I have no desire to bet on this number.
Hell no.
It's like a completely get away from
when Clay plays.
Yeah,
we have no idea when Clay plays.
Yeah,
we have no idea about Wiseman, which like I don't know if that I don't know if that's for better or worse for your win total bet if he doesn't play much. I don't know. Andrew Wiggins is also on this like might not play home games thing. if he doesn't go get the vaccine,
I'm just assuming so, like, that like public pressure will work in some of these cases.
All these guys to like, yeah, like, yeah. No, I'm with you. I like the Otto Porter pickup a lot for them. Like that was great, great upside. But like, if Otto Porter plays more than 41 games, you're thrilled.
Yeah.
Not because of a vaccine thing, but because of like he's just always hurt. I would like to see Otto play a lot because I think he could be really good for this team because he's going to get a lot of open shots and he can shoot it. I don't know. Like, is Jordan like how good? Like, what a weird team to try to figure out a month before the season. I think that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I don't feel confident in figuring them out.
Well, where would you lean? 40.5 is... It feels right.
It feels right. I guess I would lean under.
Last year, obviously, they were 39-33. So, under this pace.
Yeah.
But obviously, no Clay all year.
Nope.
Okay, I'll ask you this question. How many games does Clay need to play for you to feel like it would be over? Ooh.
45? 40? Between 40 and 50, let's say.
Okay.
So like, here's the real reason that it's an under for me.
Please.
If Stephen Curry misses any games... Like, they're losing.
It's in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he misses 4 weeks, it's an under.
The dog is getting after it.
I love it.
At the water bowl. Just hydration is happening in the Calland house.
I love it. We got the Tom Herman P chart for the dog.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Good, great teammate.
Great teammate.
Great teammate. No bad guys in this house.
You are a bad guy.
That was my favorite one.
Oh.
It was like letting your teammates down, and then like you are a bad guy. Just like orange pee. Christ. Oh. I think I might lean over.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't know. Because I think, like you said, like I think Clay might play 50. Like, he's an insane person.
So they're planning on Christmas right now, is like the report. Mm-hmm.
And that'd be right. 20 games that he would miss.
Yeah, there it'd be Christmas would be 33 games.
Oh. So yeah, he might play 40.
He might play 40.
He's a crazy person. I don't think he's going to be super into resting a whole lot of back-to-backs. He's going to have to.
Yeah, I think it's not going to be his choice.
Not the choice. Yeah, I think I like enough of what they did that I would lean over. But,
look,
just not a team I want to be involved with.
Yeah, if Steph plays 75 games, it's probably over. It probably is, right? Like... But you're also betting on a guy who turns 34.
Playing 72 games. Yeah.
Yeah, playing 75 games. In 2019, he missed 13 games. In 2018, he missed 30 games. Obviously missed like all of 2020.
That was the hand thing. Yeah.
Well, like the hand thing was all of 2020.
Oh, the hand
like,
thing was 2020.
Yeah, like even the previous 2 years before that, like 13 game miss,
he missed some games.
30 games missed, like... I mean, he missed 9 last year. I mean, if he plays 75 games, they go over. I have zero doubts about that. It's just I don't know. I don't feel fan.
We'll have like mild dissension here on a pick that neither of us want anything to do with.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
I think that's it. We'll move on.
Let's move on.
Oh, this is the one that you love, right?
We're gonna
take your favorite bet of the century.
We're taking a quick commercial break, and then we're gonna get to that.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Oh boy, Robbie, here we are. We're up to it. We're ready.
This is the one.
We're talking about the one. This is the one. The Houston Rockets, their over under win total is 27.5. That is 10 games higher than what I would put it, I think.
Wow, 10. They were 17-55 last year, so you're not far off.
And I think they're going to be worse. They're going to be worse.
Especially because like their entire thing should just be playing all the kids.
They got 40 games out of John Wall last year.
The ball should be in Jalen Green's hands every second.
Yes,
that it can be, and that will be disastrous at times, and it'll be a lot of fun on other times. But
they finished 27th in defense last year. They aren't finishing 27th in defense again.
Do you remember when I came on this podcast and I took the over last year? Because I said they would get something good for James Harden.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
And then they managed to decide, you know what player we want for James Harden?
Vic.
We want Victor Oladipo. I didn't even think that was in play because I had the Pacers under because I thought Victor Oladipo was cooked. I was bamboozled. I was hoodwinked. I was led astray by the Houston Rockets front office. And I won't make the mistake again. Under. All day. On the card.
What do you think this number should be?
If the Magic are 22.5.
Yeah.
I think 21.5. I think they should be the worst in the league by one.
Yeah. Legit, I said 10. I think the number should be 20.5. Like
I think they should be the worst. They should be projected as the worst team. If for no other reason, they are the worst team in the West by 10 games.
Yes,
they're gonna get beat up by everybody they play.
Yes, 27.5 is a wild number for this team.
Preposterous.
You're
right. I don't know if it's the best bet in history, but it's up there.
I can't remember the last time where I went, I have a 7-win difference on a team. 7 is so many.
I think it's happened once with the Knicks for me. That's a lot of wins, man.
Like, we're going to get a lot of Josh Christopher. Like, Eric Gordon, like, how long do we think Eric Gordon's on this team?
I mean, he shouldn't be there long.
How long do we think?
Every adult in that room is going to be gone. Like, Christian Wood's the only one that's going to be there.
How long do we think Daniel House is on that team?
I mean, they have to have human beings on the roster, but I don't think Daniel House is changing my position here. With all due respect,
is Daniel House their fifth best player?
Are we counting John Wall?
No,
because like he's just not gonna.
No, he's not gonna. Yeah,
play.
He's not playing. So it'd be Eric Gordon.
Are we counting Eric Gordon?
Yes.
Okay, Eric Gordon, Christian Wood's their best player.
Yeah, so that's two.
Eric Gordon,
Christian Wood, Daniel Tice is still there. Is there?
He's Daniel Tice is there.
Yeah, so that's three. Jayshon Tate's four.
Okay. I think Jalen's better than Daniel House.
Are we sure that he contributes more to winning?
I think that's a different question.
Yeah.
I think that's a different question at the moment, but like Jalen's better. But otherwise,
definitely
I'm not
better
sure.
At basketball, yeah. But like,
well, yeah, I know. But like, even like better at NBA basketball on the whole. But contributing to winning, not yet, probably. But again, Daniel House is not affecting my feeling on this at all. I'm with you. They're going to trade everybody, and they're going to be awful. Christian Wood's going to be the only one left of their main guys.
But wait, why don't they trade Christian Wood?
I think it depends on what they can get for him. I think maybe you try to showcase him a little bit more.
Right. Maybe they show him at the deadline. Wouldn't you showcase him for these first like 3 months of the season and then move him?
I mean, you could be right. Maybe see if Charlotte comes calling.
Right.
Which, by the way, Charlotte should. Like, if Charlotte doesn't have Christian Wood or Miles Turner by the end of the trade deadline, they have failed.
They need a center. Yeah. Like, just go get a center.
Desperately. Just any. And, like, both of those guys fit your timeline.
Yeah.
Go get one of them.
But, like, if you're the Rockets, I don't understand why Christian Wood, Eric Gordon, Daniel House are on this roster long term. Because here's the thing.
Yeah, Gordon for sure.
Like, Christian Wood, I think he has a team option for next year. So, not this coming year, the year after. He'll be on an expiring next year. Like, this is the year to move him. He might actually just have a full guarantee. It looks like he has a full guarantee. But like, this is the year to move him. Like, nobody's going to be real excited about Christian Wood on expiring. Whereas I think a lot of teams will be like, hey, we get 2 years of Wood. Like, let's do it.
Okay.
And yes, I said that the way I said it purposefully.
That's right. I mean, this is under. I don't think we need to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, no. This is a no.
We're arguing about whether Christian Wood gets traded at the deadline. This is a low point.
Yeah, this is a
win total pod.
This is an under. This is a like. I there's a lot going on this under. I would say
mortgage.
I don't know about
that. How many bedrooms? How many bathrooms?
You know, we have two extra bedrooms in this house, so maybe two.
Three? You going three bed, two and a half bath here? big beds.
We got
big beds. This is not a one bed, one bath.
No, this is not.
This is at least three and two and a half, maybe four and three.
Yeah. No. This is by the way, we just got a second Sam Darnold touchdown on the ground.
Sam Darnold. Rushing leader for the week.
That's right.
Fantasy.
That's what we're looking
Can't
for.
Wait. Who needs Christian McCaffrey?
We don't. That's right.
Wheels Darnold back there.
Sammy Darnold tied for the league lead in rushing touchdowns right now.
Love that.
It's actually an accurate statement.
He's got a game in hand, but I do like that. Oh, he lost a helmet too. Gritty.
Tough. Physical.
Gritty.
Okay.
The Clippers.
45.5. I think this number is pretty close to right. I'm still going to say under. This is not one that's going on the card because I don't really want anything to do with it. But if I'm leaning away, I'm going under.
See, my concern here is like I think there's a floor for how bad this team can be just given their talent level. And I think that floor might be like 43 wins, 42 wins. And like that concerns me with a number as close to that. But I mean, obviously no Kawhi all year. I think I might lean over. I'm not taking it, but I think I might lean over just because I think people are maybe a little too down. I don't think people realize that like Paul George is really damn good. Like his issues have only ever been playoff things. And I think he's just going to be really good, and they're still a good team. I think they could win 46-47. Like I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I agree with you that I don't love this. I'm not locking it up. It's not on the card. But I think I lean over here. I think this is just, I think the value is there at this point on a team that with Kawhi is at 52.5. And like losing Kawhi is significant, but like you're always playing 30 games without Kawhi as is.
Yeah.
Like that's my thing. It's like you're always dealing with a healthy chunk of the season where you don't have that guy. So it's not like they have to adapt and learn how to play without their star. This is a team that knows how to do that because they have to do it 20 to 30 games a year anyway. I think they can. I think, and they still clip off wins in those stretches. So I think they can hit the over here. I think this is a touch low. If it was 46-47.5, I would be less inclined to lean that way. But I think it's a decent lean, and kind of like the Mavs, closer to the play sheet than you, but not going on.
So I think that I would slightly lean over if I thought Paul George was a guarantee to play 75 games. I mean, he's missed about, what, like 25 in 2020 and then, you know, 20 last year.
Mm.
And he's going to be 32, I believe, in May. So, yeah. Again, that's like, if Paul George misses time, like this team wins 25% of the games that he misses, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he misses as much time simply because I think he will do less of the load management stuff that they just kind of like would give him games off when he didn't necessarily need them.
That's true.
So I think you're talking about he's probably missing 12 games. I think he can play 70 games. And I think if he plays 70 games, I think they can win 46-47. Again, this is not lock of locks, but I think there's a little bit of undervaluing going on just because everybody goes, oh, Kawhi's out there cooked. And Kawhi's the guy that misses more time to me normally. And so I think it's easier to just deal with.
I think you're probably right on the load management stuff. And that is actually like a pretty big deal. That's like definitely a big deal in this circumstance. Yeah.
So like I think he just plays through a lot of that stuff, which maybe means he plays through more Knicks and maybe means he plays not quite as well sustained, but I still think good enough to get them close to this. Again, I'm not going to take it, but I'm kind of like talking myself into it a little bit, but I think I'm going to stay away.
Yeah, I'm going under. Okay. Lakers, 52.5. The Lakers always get that, you know, Los Angeles Lakers bump.
That's correct.
I still think I'm going over.
Okay.
And the reason
is it how much of this is the Russ regular season thing?
Yeah, it's Russ regular season. They have the secondary ball handler with like LeBron to be able to manage some of his minutes. Even if Anthony Davis like misses his typical amount of time, like you're probably still okay with LeBron and Russ in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think over here, like pretty solidly.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. Is this is a team that adding Russ creates playoff questions, but helps you in the regular season. Like they've added some depth.
Like they really have. There are
defense questions for sure. But again, I think those are playoff questions. They're going to be much better offensively. And I think that bodes well for regular season wins. I think this is 55 win team, barring like disaster regarding LeBron. But yeah, and like Russ doesn't play quite as much as he used to, but like Russ is still going to try to play 70 games if he can.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think the Russ bump, because like he can just, Russ will win you like five regular season games you have no business winning. Like he did it for Washington. Like they were without it was like, I'm going to go win this game because he's an insane person and it's a back to back for both teams. And sometimes it's just who gives a damn. And Russ always does.
This is the best. This is the absolute best.
I love Russ.
Yeah. But this team also like has a reasonable amount of like depth players. Like Carmelo Anthony probably like, you know, maybe helps them in terms of depth. Kendrick Nunn and Malik Monk are like reasonable upside flyers to take.
Sure.
Trevor Ariza is like a reasonable upside flyer to take. Like they need to hit like 50% on their offseason plays, I feel like.
Yeah. And I think they'll be fine. Like I said, last year was ugly at times. But a lot of that was health, and a lot of that was just like, I think they swung and missed on a lot of chemistry stuff. Like they completely revamped that roster, and obviously there's a chance this year, but I think they bring Dwight back, which it's weird feeling like Dwight's going to fit in better than like Marc Gasol. I would never have thought that 5 years ago ever on any team in any sport. But here we are. And Dwight knows what he's supposed to do here, and that's important. And last year there was not everybody being on the same page and knowing what they were supposed to do and what their role was going to be, or thinking they were promised a role that they weren't. And I think the vibes were bad, and I don't think that's going to be the case again.
Okay. I'm going over here. You're going over because of the Russ factor, right?
I'll be over. Yeah, I'm over. I'm over with you. I don't know if I'm locking it up, but I'm going over.
I think I am also. Like, I think this is like on the ticket for me. Over.
Yeah, mine's just off. Mine as of now, not on the ticket, but I dig it.
Yeah,
I think it's the right side.
Okay,
this one I love.
Okay, Memphis 41.5. I don't feel great about this one at all.
Under.
Okay. Give me some takes, because I don't feel strongly about this at all.
I mean, this is a team that, to me, like, had a really weird offseason in which they seemed to just, like, they treated the offseason like a team that wasn't a playoff team. Like a young team that could afford to just give away some good players to get draft picks and be a salary dump place. And I don't understand that when you have a team that has forward trajectory and momentum on its side and is growing around this young group. And then you say, all right, we're going to trade Valanciunas to move up in the draft. And we're going to, we're just going to eat Bledsoe's salary, and then we're going to bring Gasol and just eat that money, and like we're just not going to take advantage of an opportunity to maybe try to go out and make a move to take a step forward. And I think if anything, they took a step back, because like Valanciunas was sensational for them last year. Like I think he was highly underrated for what he did for that team, and I think losing him is a really big deal. As much as I like Steven Adams, he doesn't bring you the same things. And yes, the idea is you get Jaren Jackson Jr. for a full season, but how many games is a full season for Jaren Jackson Jr.? I don't know. I feel like they took a step back, and other teams around them in the West took a little bit more of a step forward. And I just think they are the candidate for me for the most regression, as much as I like a lot of their guys. Like, I love Ja. Dylan Brooks has impressed me the last couple of years in a way I didn't think Dylan Brooks was as a player. But like they just, I feel like they didn't do a good job this offseason in making a young team on the rise get better. And I think that's a missed opportunity. And I think it's going to set them back in a way.
Yeah. So I get all of that. And if I'm leaning, I'm leaning under. Like, I'm totally with that. Here's the thing. I don't want to bet against John Morant, Jaren Jackson, like all Dylan Brooks, like all these dudes who are like crazy level competitors.
Sure.
I just kind of can't do it, I don't think. And I get it. I get why you would. I get why from a like just pure roster perspective and from like where they are in the Western Conference hierarchy, 100% get that. I just completely and utterly refuse to bet against this group because they just consistently like are tough. Like it's just kind of a tough-minded team that I think manages.
I 100% agree. I don't think they're going to be bad. Yeah. I don't think they're going to be bad. I just think they're a sub 500 team in the West.
I think you're look, like I'm leaning with you and like we're kind of parsing a little bit, but sure, this is why like I'm not betting it. Right?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like there's a difference between
I totally understand. Not agree, but I totally understand.
Yeah. Also, by the way, like I'm about to sweat a final seconds Houston drive potentially, it looks like, with like, oh no, we got end of game.
No, they're out of timeouts. They're on knees. You're good.
There we go. We got a Sam Darnold betting victory, and Sam Darnold betting victories just they're the best. we love Sam Darnold in this household.
To the window.
So. I can't bet against like the human beings, given that I know that they're going to play hard the whole year. This is a team that, you know, has, you know, been pretty good the last 2 years, like 34 and 39 last year's surprise, or 2 years ago's surprise last year, 38 and 34, winning record in the West. And yeah, Jonas Valanciunas was a big piece of that, but like,
I understand. It's not a knock on those guys. I think they're going to play hard, and that's going to scare my bet for sure, because they will play better. They will play harder than a lot of teams, but I just think I have some concerns about whether the message they sent this season to the team was what this team needed to hear.
Yeah.
I feel like they said, we're still thinking about the future. And this is a team that, like you said, surprised in Ja's rookie year, then makes the playoffs, and then you decide to just kind of punt on a season when you have all this forward momentum with a team. I just don't like that, and I feel like it sends the wrong message to the team, and I just don't like what happened this summer there. So like, we're about to get to a couple other teams that I feel that way about.
Yeah, and I get that. I just wonder if, like, now John Morant will look at this as, like, oh, shit, like, I don't have the bailout of throwing the ball into Jonas Valanciunas with 8 seconds left on the shot clock, and he can just go, like, bury his left shoulder into someone and then take, like, a 2-foot right hook jumper, right? Without that, I just kind of wonder, like, maybe he takes the leap. Maybe that, like,
I mean, he could. Yeah. He could. We're gonna find out a lot about where that shot is.
All right.
Because, like you said, some of that safety blanket's gone.
Yeah.
And teams are gonna say, you're gonna need to shoot.
You gotta beat us.
And there are gonna be nights where he does it. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just banking on the fact that it probably won't be more than half of them.
Okay, let's take another quick commercial break, and we'll be back to talk about a car crash. Let's go with
teams that are down bad.
Okay, We're back. The Minnesota Timberwolves are up next. Their over-under is 34.5. Their over-under on general managers fired for, or sorry, presidents of basketball operations, fired for inappropriate relationships and being apparently like not a good person to his coworkers, 1.
What are you doing, man? What's happening here?
Can't do it.
Just no. Under here for the Wolves, 34.5. Just terrible vibes. That's all this is. This is not, like, I'm not gonna bet it, but just under on principle. This is a team I want to take the leap. This is a team I want to see Cat and Ant and all these guys do well. And I just think they have top two worst vibes in the league. And we're about to get to the other team that's in that.
Robbie, I hate myself for this.
Are you buying the Wolves?
I hate myself for this.
Lucy has the football, Sam.
I can't emphasize enough how much I hate myself for this.
Come on. You don't.
I'm not betting it. Don't get me wrong. But
in the words of Mad Max, that's bait. Come on. You're better than this, Sam.
This is a bottom five defense. I know that.
Cheeks on that end.
This is a top 10 offense, probably.
Sam,
34.
I don't even have a basketball argument for the under. I just like just putrid vibes.
So like, what?
How does a team with Anthony Edwards have bad vibes? Do you know how bad you have to fuck up to do that?
So like, after
it infuriates me.
After Chris Finch got there and like was there for a minute, it wasn't that bad. Like they were okay.
I won't believe in the Wolves till they make me. I'm not going to bet it because I like a lot of the guys on that team and think there's talent there.
They went 10-9 late.
I don't know what that means.
We've
done this before, though. Haven't we done this before? Where it like goes like 500 over like a little stretch to end the season and we go, oh, man, this is the year the Wolves figured out. No, they don't, because they're the Wolves.
But remember how I talked about the man games missed thing with Atlanta last year?
Oh, Minnesota missed a ton.
They missed a lot. Like,
for sure.
Just like kind of
trust DAR to stay healthy.
Yeah, like D'Angelo Russell missed like 30 games last year. Malik Beasley missed like 35 games. Karl Towns missed like 25 games.
Yeah.
And even like dudes like Josh Okogie and Jaden McDaniels missed like 10 to 15 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel dumb. Believe me, I feel really dumb doing this. I've never felt dumber taking one of these over-unders. I think I'm leaning over because I think that, like,
no.
Chris Finch is really good.
No.
The Timberwolves have
Karl
Towns
and
Anthony Edwards.
It's a cursed franchise.
Like, they might have two all-stars.
Cursed franchise. Doesn't matter. Two all-stars, 33 wins.
I feel dumb. Believe me. I want to move on. I don't want to...
That's fine. But here's the thing. I don't think either of us have, like, a good argument for it, other than, like, just feeling.
Yeah,
and that's,
totally.
Isn't that the Wolves' experience?
But, like, here's a feeling. Like, Gerson Rosas, like, very clearly, it seems like... had a role in making the vibes bad, right?
Sure.
Maybe removing him makes the vibes
maybe
better.
Maybe it does. It might. God, there's so many ants in here.
It's good because we got Ant Edwards.
Speaking of the ant.
Okay. The New Orleans Pelicans, 39.5.
Under.
I also have under. This is not under. Quite on my ticket, but it's close.
It's threatening to make it. Worse vibes than the Timberwolves.
I don't think in that far. Like,
oh, yes.
David Griffin has not been fired for inappropriate relationship and being a great boss.
He's not gone, but he's not gone, and apparently they don't like him. As much as I like Griff, in my interactions, they are not apparently super big fans.
Yeah.
I hope Willie Green succeeds. I want to say this. Hawk legend Willie Green, a joy to cover. I hope he succeeds. I hope he does well. And I can see where there's some good things. Zion, great. Brandon Ingram, getting buckets. Defense, Valanciunas, improvement, upgrade. Like, really good player. We just talked about how important he was to Memphis. I think he's going to help them a lot. I don't know who they defend.
Yeah, I'm not sure who they defend. They're probably diminishing.
Devontae Graham, point of attack, and Kira Lewis. Like, I like Kira. Who's defending on this team?
Yeah, I think Trey Murphy is pretty good on defense. I think Herb Jones is good on defense. Najee Marshall. Right. Like, those guys aren't going to play a ton, though.
Right, that's the thing. Like, you're naming, like, 6th, 7th, 8th guys. That's not what you want on the top of the good defenders list.
Yeah. Look.
And, like, Valanciunas can play good defense. Valanciunas can play good defense in a team setting. We saw that in Memphis. There is not a team setting of defense yet. There's no system for him to figure it out and play a role. It's not going to be pretty. And, like, also, it's just the West. Like, there's just got to be some teams that take some lumps. And I think in the middle, New Orleans is one of those teams for me.
So, like, they have Zion and Brandon Ingram, both of whom are, like, all-star-ish players, right? Zion's definitely going to be an all-star this year.
Mm-hmm.
They have Valanciunas, who I thought was, like, a top 6 center last year, something like that.
Yeah, 6'8".
Yeah. Satoransky, Josh Hart, Garrett Temple, Kyra Lewis, Trey Murphy, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who I think is, like, legit really good.
You can play a little bit.
Najee Marshall and Herb Jones, who I also really like and had a first-round grade on. Like,
Roll Tide.
That's, like, 8 dudes that are, like, legit rotation-ish players.
Fantastic. That's a 37-win team. They're not going to be awful. Like, they're not going to be terrible. I'm not sitting here going to be like, yeah, they're going to get a top 5 pick. But, like, they're just not in that tier.
So here's what worries me is, are there diminishing returns on having both Jonas and Zion, given the way that those two are so dominant around the basket and given that both of them score a ton on post-ups? Like, you can't post both of them.
I would like to see
what you're gonna
try.
You're gonna have Zion on
just
one
play
block.
Volleyball over the top. Just play volleyball over the top over the key until, like, one of them feels like they're in good position to finish. But I kind of love this idea.
Yeah,
run Zion a weird triangle where you just keep throwing it out to the top and reposting on the other side.
It's like a 3-2 defense. Just set up like a 3-2 defense on offense and have Zion on one block, Jonas on the other block, and then just, like, zip it around, throw it down. Zip it around after the kick out, back out. Throw it down to Jonas on the other side. This is what we need. Only
Willie
24
Green,
seconds on the shot clock, folks.
Willie Green, call us. We have some concepts to consider.
We have some concepts.
Can you imagine how pissed off Brandon Ingram would be being, like, in the corner as they post Zion and Jonas every other possession?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's some questions over fit. As well as just bad vibes.
It's real bad.
I like Willie Green, though. I hope he succeeds. Long term.
Okay. Yeah, we're both under here. You might have convinced me to ticket this. You might have convinced me to ticket this because...
I mean, you start listing off all those names. I'm like, these are solid. This is a solid 37-win basketball team that you're just naming right here.
I think that this next team, though, might also be on the ticket.
Heavens to Betsy.
Is this our first heavens to Betsy? Just shout out heavens Scott Van Pelt, man. Betsy. Oh, that's my God. Is there a better person? Like,
just a king of kings.
Just the absolute the greatest.
Dude, the Thunder are just... 23.5.
Under.
Should we play the game? Should we just read the roster for the people?
Do you have the roster in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say, how many names can you name on the Thunder?
Oh,
without looking at the roster.
Prior to doing this, I'm gonna be 100% honest. Prior to doing this, it would have been like 8, I think.
Yeah, I think I probably could have got to 10. I don't know if I could have gotten all 15.
Oh, there's no like chance.
I would have forgotten about Gabriel Deck. I would have forgotten they brought over Vic Krejci. Like,
wouldn't have had them. I forgot about like Paul Watson.
He's on a two-way. Like, he doesn't count.
Nah.
The starting lineup here is SGA, Shea, Lou Dort, Darius Bazley.
Yeah.
Derek Favors, I would think, starts.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Poku?
I don't think it'll be Poku. I think they'll bring him off the bench.
Mike Muscala?
No, it'll be like some wing. Like, it could be like Isaiah Roby, maybe. Could be Kenrich Williams.
Kenrich would make sense. I think it's Kenrich. Kenrich would make sense. Kenrich is like actually a good basketball player, of which they have not a lot.
Sam Darnold has the biggest goddamn head in the world.
Boy's got a dome.
He is a dome, man.
Boy's got a dome. Him and that's he's got like, yeah, it's a Daryl Morey-esque dome. Daryl Morey's head is so big. Like, when I would go to like Getty to find photos of Daryl, it was always like him sitting next to Tillman. And like he just engulfs Tillman with like his size. And it was hysterical.
Daryl's a big dude.
I'm not making fun of it. Like, just like
he's a big dome dude. Yeah,
he's a large individual. Shouts to the I missed the ping pong tournament.
Yeah, and like, I'm not making fun of Sam Darnold. Like,
he's just got a dome. You're just looking at television.
Yeah, in terms of my finances, in terms of my like bragging rights with my college friends, like, I am financially invested in Sam Darnold's success.
Yeah, he's been great to start of the year. Look at Sam. Look at him winging that thing. But yeah, the boy's got a melon for sure.
Who played the most minutes on the Thunder last year?
Dort?
Nope.
Oh, no. I think I might be out of guesses.
Théo Maledon.
Oh, I like Théo.
Yeah,
They got their money's worth out of his contract.
Yeah, the top five minutes getters.
That boy was making minimum wage per minute.
The top five minutes getters for the Oklahoma City Thunder: Théo Maledon, Darius Bazley, Lou Dort, Kenrich Williams, and Isaiah Roby. That is a five-win team.
That's hideous. That's so bad. SGA is so good.
Shea is amazing.
So good. And yet, this is an under.
And here's the thing. I think Mark Daigneau, their coach, or Daigneau, I'm
the one who comes on this podcast and butchers names, Sam. You can't be the one doing this.
Yeah, no.
That's my role on this podcast.
I think he's great. Like, I think he's, like, actually really fucking good.
I'm sure he is. Competitive at times before they shut Shea down, but I don't think it matters. This team is so bad.
This is an under.
This is under. Like, they know what the goal is.
Yeah.
And Mark knows what the goal is. And everybody on that team is aware of what the goal is.
In the last 20 games of the year, if they are 20 and, you know, 20 and 40,
I still feel fine.
They're shutting Shea down.
3-17 rest of the way. Let's go. Charlie Brown Jr. Minutes happening.
That happened.
Hawk legend. Just Trey Mann, just good luck. Go get like, buckets, maybe.
Like Moses Brown minutes happened last year.
Shouts to Big Mose. What a large, speaking of large individuals, Moses Brown, my heavens, enormous, he is a human. Huge human being. I remember the first game I watched where I was like, my God, who is that? Mountain of a man. What a behemoth.
Josh Hall played like 300 minutes last year.
Dude, they will play. All right, here's Josh Hall.
Josh Hall last year shot 30% from the field, 10% from three, 50% from the line.
Mm-hmm. That classic 30-10-50.
Yeah.
Famed slash line.
That's a 90 line.
That's right. Just add it all up. 90. All right, here's a more fun over-under with the Thunder. More wins or players who play 100 minutes?
Oh, God. Oh, no. Last year it was 22. Mm-hmm. There's 21 last year. It's 21.
This is a better. Call me Vegas. I can get you much better lines.
BetMGM. This is the Robbie Callen special right here.
Come on, add it to the list.
The Callen special.
Because all right,
I think over.
I think so. Because they will probably move favors if he asks. So that gets you a couple guys in. If someone comes calling about Kenrich, I could see him moving him. You're going to have some cuts. You're going to have some, you know, pickups. Presti likes to work the old waiver wire. Yeah, man. I think they can get back in the 20s. For sure. Two ways, call-ups, all kinds of stuff.
I don't know that this team wins 15 games, like, first and foremost. Dude,
it's rough. Out of respect to Shea, I'm going to say more than 15, but that is
because
he's that good.
To me, this total should be, like, 19.5.
Do you think it should be worse than Houston? You think they're worse than Houston? Because you had 20.5 for
Houston. Yeah. I do think they're worse than Houston. Yeah.
Wow. I'm not sure. I think it should be right around the same. 20.5, 21.5.
Yeah. It's going to be close, like, I don't but think it's going to be bad.
Wildly wrong, but they're both bad.
Yeah.
Going to be some fun tanking at the end of the season between those two.
Yeah. Okay, Phoenix. Okay. 51.5. This number seems like pretty close to me, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. They won 51 last year and have 10 games to get more than that. However, I think every single player on Phoenix had almost the ideal season last year. Would you say that's
well, I think the critical thing is that Chris Paul played 70 games.
Chris Paul did play 70 games. That was a lot of Chris Paul.
Yeah, like Chris Paul played 70 games. Devin Booker played 67. Mikal Bridges played 72. DeAndre Ayton played 69. Basically, everyone played every game. They were third in terms of like fewest games lost due to injury. I just find it unlikely that they will stay that healthy again.
Mm-hmm.
Now they get 10 extra games mm-hmm. to play with. So like maybe that'll be fine. Like I don't know for sure that it won't matter, but I'm just like a little bit concerned about that front, I would say.
Yeah, I think I lean over. Because like you said, I mean, like it's 10 extra games. Even if they're probably 3 games worse than last year's pace, they still get there.
Yeah.
Four games, I leaned over as well.
Yeah, I lean over. I'm not locking it up, though.
This is not a card.
That's just a really good basketball team with some good depth. That's really all I got. I mean, it comes down to Chris Paul's health and whether Campaign can keep doing what he's been doing. But this is now a season and a half of this from Campaign. So maybe he can. But that is certainly the concern. It's like if Campaign takes a little step back and Chris Paul doesn't play as much, that's where you're scared of it for me. Anyway.
You do get a real backup center in JaVale, which I wonder like if that can help them like win an extra game or two. Honestly, sure. like they just did not have an option there.
No, as much as I like Dario, like it was
tough. And Dario tough was great to start the year, but like by the time like February rolled around, it was like, oh no, this is like actually a problem.
Yeah.
So this number's right. I don't know that we need to belabor it. Like I just
51-52. This is 51-52 win team. Yeah. I think I would lean towards the 52 side. So again, yeah, lean over, but correct line.
Yeah, if they stay totally healthy, I think they like maybe win 55. It's just that, it might really.
It's all in play. It's anything you could talk me into anything from like 48 to 55 as reasonable. So lean over.
Okay. Blazers. Portland, 44.5.
I mean, this, we talked about it with, you talked about it with Memphis, but like a team I hate betting against is Portland. But I don't know. I don't like what they have going on at center beyond Nurkic. That's still a concern.
I think they'll probably play some Nance at five if Nurkic misses games. Like I think that they can cobble together a backup center spot now with Nance and Zeller. If only because
Zeller's there, but how much he plays, who knows? He's good for 50 each year. I mean, I did like the moves they made. You know, Nance is good. You still got Rocco there, so that's another small ball five you can play if you need to.
Yep.
You lose Melo, so you lose some scoring punch, but you add more defense in Nance. That's kind of the trade you make there.
Yeah.
I think this number's right.
I also think this number is about right.
I think maybe I lean under at 44, but like, yeah,
I lean over here just because, you know, CJ McCollum missed 47 games, right? They still went 42 and 30. So they were on pace for like 46, 47. No, they'd be on pace for 47 at that point. Yeah. Oh no. No, I did math bad again. They'd be on pace for like 48, I guess. We're getting there. Just counting upward. So they'd be on pace for like 48, even with CJ McCollum missing 27 games. Like, Yusuf Nurkic missing 37 games. You get a full year of Powell, although like that kind of offsets with Trent. Powell's a little bit better than Trent. I think lean over here, but I don't feel incredible about the over. Like, I think that the number is about right.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can see that. I'm gonna stick with the lean under, but you make good points. Still don't have a backup point guard.
Oh yeah, I guess they still don't.
God bless him if Dame misses time, but that's a caveat all the time with any superstar. I mean, so
if Dame misses time, they're done. That's always
lingering over all of these, and so yeah, I'm not expecting it. But I think they're 44 to 45 wins. So good number. Good job, BetMGM.
But the thing with Dame though is like he's missed under 10 games every year of his career.
Yeah, like, I mean, like the dude's an Iron Man. Like I'm 100% with you. Like that's why I'm like, it's not a huge.
Okay, let's move to the Sacramento Kings. Sacramento, the number's 36.5. I don't know. Like I don't know. Sure. It's a number.
I got nothing for the Kings, man. I mean, they're I don't think they are bad. I don't think they're good. I think they're the Kings. We do this every year with them. The Kings are a Rorschach test. If you want to see good in them, you can. If you want to see upside, you can. If you want to see the ways it all falls apart because they're the Kings, you absolutely can do that too. And as such, my default with the Kings is to lean under, despite liking a number of their pieces, but not bet on them, because having financial investment in the Kings is one of the worst things you can do in the NBA.
So, I think I lean under here. I don't feel great about it. I don't really have Kings takes. I'll just be honest.
I
want this team to succeed. I think Tyrese Halliburton's good. I think that Davion Mitchell is good for sure. I just don't know how you play all three of those together necessarily.
100%. Weird fit. Love De'Aaron Fox. Good player.
Yeah. I don't know what Buddy Hield looks like. Part of this too is I think they...
Do they trade somebody?
Yeah, I think they're ripe for a trade in a real way, so I want to stay away from that. I just don't know.
And the right move for them to make would be a trade that kind of makes them... is a future-facing move, and you move on from Buddy Hield and or Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then it's definitely an under.
Yeah.
So... I think more outcomes than not are on the under with the Kings, but I'm not going to bet it because I don't want to have any investment in them either way, because that just seems like a miserable existence.
Yeah, I don't.
I like to watch the Kings because they got some fun guys.
Yeah, shout out to De'Aaron Fox, shout out to Davion Mitchell. I actually really like Harrison Barnes. Rashawn Holmes is super fun. Yeah,
great player.
But I
just. They got pieces, and they have never been able to know how to fit them together, and I don't think that changes this.
Yeah, I want
to
stay away. I want to stay away from this entirely. Okay, the San Antonio Spurs. This is a low number.
Sure
is. This is 28.5.
I go over.
So
I think I like it a little bit, maybe more than I should.
So you're thinking this could be on the ticket for you.
Not at -125.
Yeah.
Gross. BetMGM. How dare you?
So, But,
yeah, I mean, they've got, DeJounte and Derek White are, it's a nice backcourt still. Doug McDermott will help them have some spacing.
Lonnie and Kelton and Devin.
Jakob Poeltl's a really good defensive center. He's not much offensively, but he's really good defensively. I think they're still going to be a solid defense. If they can come up with anything offensively, they can win some games. It's still pop. I just my default on the Spurs is going to be over if it feels close. Because, again, a team that plays hard, if Thaddeus Young plays all the way to the trade deadline, I actually kind of love this.
So I lean over. I definitely think over here. I don't know, though. It's hard for me to... I think this team is, more talented than a 28-win team. I think they are... this is a better team than Cleveland at 26.5.
Definitely better than Houston at 27.5.
Yeah, definitely. We think this team's probably pretty close. I don't know. Minnesota's a lot more talented than this team, I guess, though.
Minnesota is a lot more talented. They're just Minnesota.
Yeah.
I just think they could...
Is this team that far from Sacramento? 8 wins worth?
I don't think so. But the Kings are significantly more talented in certain spots and have more, veteran spots in particular. But, Derek White, if he plays a full season, I think that's big. He's missed a lot of time, and if he can get healthy and he can get right, him and Murray, I think, make a nice little backcourt. They've got some young pieces. I think we're both Keldon Johnson guys.
I like this team more than this number would indicate what they should, what Vegas thinks they are. I don't know if at minus 125 I like them that much more.
Well, like here, would you bet them minus 110 at 29.5?
At minus 110, I think I would take it.
Like, if you could get 29.5 at minus 110.
I think I would.
Yeah.
Just push the number up, man. Just push the number up. Come on now. I feel pretty comfortable that this is a 30-win team.
I think I do, too. I think it's probably like a 32-win team. But I think this number should be like 31.5. Like, I don't think it should be, like, should this number
30? I think 30.5. I think 30.5 would be reasonable.
Yeah.
Two more wins. But if it's, my rule basically is, like, if it's two wins higher, like, I feel good about it.
Yeah. Like, they're not this much worse than Washington, are they?
No, I don't think so.
Like, five wins between them and Washington, that's a lot.
Or Toronto, given Siakam's injury.
Yeah, no, I agree with that too.
7 wins, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Spurs comfortable over if you can get it not juiced like crazy. I would endorse it.
Yeah. Okay. Last team. Utah Jazz. 52.5. I kind of love this number. I think Utah over.
Over. This is what the Jazz do, man. They win in the regular season.
You're telling me that they're going to win the same number of games as they won last year?
Yeah, come on.
Like, they were healthy, but they weren't that healthy. Like, Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley both missed 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that, like, Derek Favors, like, is the difference here? I mean, it's the same team. It's the same team. Robbie, it's the same team.
Yes, I think people are down. This happens a lot with Utah, where everybody gets down on the Jazz because, like, they look like crap in the second round or the first round of the playoffs. And they forget that this is a regular season betting number. Over. Over, 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 over.
I don't understand how this number is so low.
I don't know. Let's just take it and be happy. I appreciate it.
They won 52 last year.
That's correct. Like, why is this number lower than Milwaukee?
It's purely because Milwaukee won the title. Like, it has to be, right?
Like, Milwaukee was not as good in the regular season.
No.
And, like, and we talked about how Milwaukee's usually really good in the regular season. And, like, Utah has been more consistent in the regular season than Milwaukee at just, like, winning a lot of games. This is over.
I don't.
They're going to be a top three seed. They're top three seed in the West, minimum. And that's 53 games.
I'm so confused. I'm so confused by this number.
Trot to the window. Sprint to the window. Don't trot. Sprint. Over 52.5.
Like, this number should be 55.5.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think this is a miss by a considerable margin.
Like, they might win. This team might win 60 regular season games.
I would say it's more likely they win 60 regular season games than they win less than 50.
I don't.
And if you're putting the number at 52.5, then that's an over all day.
I just don't understand it.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't get it.
Because it's not like anybody's, like, figured them out or something.
No, they were elite on both offense and defense. They have Rudy Gobert.
They're great.
And they make threes at a better clip than any team in the NBA.
And they're really good at not allowing threes.
Yes.
Like, they're just... They do the things that win you regular season games better than anybody else in the NBA on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, I don't.
Give me the over.
I don't get it. This is a confusing number for me.
The only team that should have a higher over-under are the Brooklyn Nets.
I agree. I completely agree.
And honestly, I would feel more comfortable with Utah than Brooklyn because of all of the stuff Brooklyn has going on.
Yeah.
Even though they're a more talented team.
Like, the number one seed to me is one of Utah or the Lakers.
Yeah, and, like, you could talk me into Phoenix being in the conversation. And then I think it's Phoenix and Denver are, like, the if they get go nuclear, they could be in there. But, yeah, I mean, like, if one of those teams is up there, it's not because Utah or the Lakers stumble, I don't think. Yeah. I think it's because they just are out of their mind against other teams.
Okay, so the Utah Jazz, like, we're in on the Jazz, for sure. I would say on our ticket here, I've got Denver. I don't know if I feel like incredible about Denver, but like I'm good enough.
I like
with
it.
Denver. Yeah, like it'll.
I can play it.
It'll be a little like sprinkle on Denver, right?
Sure.
Houston will be my biggest bet. Like, I don't... That number is unfathomably high to me.
With you on that.
I have the Lakers on the ticket. I don't know if I will take it at the end of the day.
I do not.
The Pelicans on the ticket. I don't think I will take that.
I have Memphis on my ticket.
You have Memphis.
I also have the Pelicans.
Yeah, you're definitely on the Pelicans. I'm like a little less sold. You did sell me pretty well, though.
We both have the Thunder.
We both have the Thunder, and we both have the Jazz.
Yes, that is the card. More strong feelings on the West than the East this year.
Yeah, so we've got 10 on the ticket. I might try and whittle that down to like 7 or 8, right? Like if I had to pick like my...
Yeah, I don't have Orlando.
Yeah.
I might not. You might be right about Denver.
So like my favorites are Atlanta, Houston, mm-hmm. probably mm-hmm. Utah.
Mm-hmm. Miami.
I feel pretty good about Miami.
I like Miami a lot.
I feel pretty good
Miami
about
Unker.
Denver.
I like OKC.
And I like OKC, yeah.
Yeah, you can... I could see... And I do like Milwaukee a lot, too. I think if I were going to leave two off, they would be Memphis and New Orleans. Just because, like, do I really want to sweat that out? Because I think both will be kind of close.
Yeah, I've got 10. So I would leave...
I might take those off. I might take those two off and play 9.
I'd leave Orlando.
Mm.
I would leave New Orleans.
Mm. You're keeping the Lakers?
I think that they would be my number 8, the Lakers, looking at it. And then I think Miami would be my number 7. I think that's where I'm at. I think that like my top 6 are Utah and Atlanta and Milwaukee, kind of at the top of the league. Denver is somewhere in there, and then my favorite would be Houston, and then I would be happy to take Oklahoma City. Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I dig that. I think we've come to a good consensus there.
I'm in.
Yeah, I think most of our disagreement was on some teams that we were like just leaning, which is usually how it goes. We usually have this exercise goes,
yeah.
And we had a couple where, like, you like the Lakers more than me. I like Memphis a lot more than you.
You like New Orleans.
You liked Orlando more than me.
Yeah, you like New Orleans more than me.
I still think I'll probably take New Orleans off. I like it more, but like, there's enough talent there to spook you. Still think they're a 37-win team though.
Yeah. Yeah, and
anyway,
I don't know. Robbie, tell the people where they can find you. Tell the people what's going on, man.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at rcallen. You can find my work at uprocks.com, dimemag.com, all that good stuff. It is preview season. It is cover season. It is all of those things. So you know how it is. Sam, it's always a pleasure.
Robbie, we do it every year. It's pancake breakfast. We do it every year. And I'm so glad we did it again. This has been the Game Theory Podcast. Please remember, rate, review, subscribe. Everything you can to support the show. Go support Robbie. Like, please. We need to make sure Robbie is financially solvent.
Gainfully employed.
Gainfully employed. Financially solvent. We'll be back next week with some draft stuff, with some NBA preview stuff. But until next time, we'll talk soon.